Hey, this is Matthew West.
Hey, this is Dustin from Sanctisrio.
Hey, this is David Crowder.
Hey, this is Jason Gray. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas with 91.3 WCSG.
91.3 WCSG, family-friendly and commercial-free. Welcome, and thank you for listening to part two of the WCSG Christmas Special Podcast. This episode will feature myself, Jeremy,
Amanda,
Steve,
and Kathy.
So grab your hot chocolate and sugar cookies to settle in as we share memories of Christmas past and focus on the reason for the Christmas season. Of all the holidays throughout the calendar year, Christmas is the one with the largest selection of themed music. Now imagine that it's a snowy evening and all of your closest family members are home, and while the mood is cozy, it feels incomplete without a Christmas album playing in the background, so you walk over to your record player and grab which album?
I'll go first.
I think everybody's looking at Steve.
Okay. I had a hard time. I was going to say I had a hard time narrowing this down. I didn't have a hard time
was
narrowing
it Reliant
this down.
K?
Yes.
Let but It Snow? Is that what it's called?
Let It Snow, Baby, Let It Reindeer.
Right, yeah.
I will say I have some alternatives.
Okay.
The older I get, the more I appreciate the standards. You know, I like jazz music. So, you know, Sinatra and Bing Crosby, they have albums just called Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're Frank Sinatra, you can just make an album called Christmas.
It is just what it is.
It is. Exactly.
We don't have to fancy it up.
Right. So I feel like that's nice background music to have playing, but I do really like that Reliant K. There's, you know, the really like rockin', you know, style that they're known for, but they also have some like really kind of moody sort of melancholy that elicits some of that melancholy emotion that I feel at this time of year a lot of times. So maybe when all the guests have gone home, I'll just put that on for myself.
There's no judgment here. This is a safe place.
Everybody's answer is correct.
Yeah, everybody's answer is right. That's right. And I say that because of mine. So I don't know. You guys probably can guess. Like, I'm a pretty, you know, predictable gal.
Okay.
Do you have a guess?
I was going to say Charlie Brown Christmas.
That is not Amy Grant.
Oh, you're close.
Oh, I forgot about Amy.
Well, maybe Michael W. Smith.
It's Christmas. Mariah Carey.
Oh. That was my first guess.
Steve, you should always go with your gut.
Right. I should have gone with my gut.
I know. I almost didn't admit this to y'all, but I mean, we just got to be honest here. This, like I said, it's a safe place. And I know that album front and back, and I do a pretty good rendition of Jesus, What a Wonderful Child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my go-to. I'm trying to branch out, so maybe I'll try that Reliant K one. I'll try to.
Feels like a different end of the spectrum.
A little different.
You won't appreciate it.
I but won't please. Appreciate it.
I tell you what, you'll appreciate that about as much as I'll appreciate Mariah Carey. So
okay.
Let's just swap.
Oh, maybe
equal trades.
We should not go to each other's party though, because we'd have some conflicts there. That's mine.
So I based mine. I typically am not a big fan of Christmas music. I grew up on Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I'm not a fan of Christmas.
That was about the extent of it. But a number of years ago, I was working at another Christian radio station and stumbled across this artist named Dave Barnes. Maybe you've run across his song "God Gave Me You."
Mm-hmm.
That got real big when Blake Shelton, I think, is the name of the country music artist who covered it. But that same year that he released "God Gave Me You," he released "Very Merry Christmas," and this album is amazing, beginning to end. Has just a great feel to it, and like just even putting it on, just somehow instrument wise and sonically speaking, it just feels like Christmas. He's got some great cuts on there. I really like "Very Merry Christmas," which is the title track. "I Pray on Christmas," which has kind of this like stomp clap type feel to it. But then he's got a really special song called "Mary and Joseph," and it just kind of walks through their intimate story.
Aww.
And that's what closes the album. It's really, really great.
Okay. So that would have been, I don't know if it was choice one, but Dave Barnes also has a second Christmas album, which is also very good. And I thought you probably would pick Dave Barnes, which is why I went for choice two. Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, "A Neighborly Christmas."
Oh, that's a good one too.
That one also, I feel like you were talking about, you know, putting the record on, like it has like the vinyl vibe about it, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of feels Christmassy. And it's Drew Holcomb, who is the husband of Ellie Holcomb.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's also on the album, and it's folksy, and there's a good mix of like, you know, your standard Christmas songs, your carols, and then also some originals, which I appreciate. But I had to add one more.
Ooh.
Because I'm the music director here, and I can. Lauren Daigle, "Behold."
Yeah. Yes.
Her Christmas album is spectacular. She's such such a talented singer, mm-hmm. but then she brings in that New Orleans vibe about it too, and yep. that feels very Christmassy to me as well.
It's so interesting too, because that was our first taste of her. She released mm-hmm. a Christmas yeah. song before she released anything else. So
and yeah. it seemed to work out okay for her.
I think so.
That was going to be my second pick. So.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Christmas sweater has certainly made a name for itself in recent years. So much so, there's even entire themed ugly Christmas sweater parties to celebrate the holiday. So, say you have been placed in charge of designing the next ugly Christmas sweater. What three characters or things do you include?
So, I defaulted to thinking about the nostalgia that comes with Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, I started thinking back. I went in that direction, and I based my characters completely on my childhood. Aww. So this is specifically a Jeremy branded ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
So first I went with Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks because I totally grew up on their songs on steady rotation playing in the background as a kid. Then I went with He-Man because one Christmas, and I have zero idea how my parents financially made this happen, but I got like every toy that was available that year, wow. including like the castle and all that stuff. There's pictures to prove it, although I have nothing left of it now. But then the final one was tricky because I wanted to base it on my favorite Christmas movie at the time, and I had this debate going on between the California Raisins or the Grinch, and I decided since I couldn't remember much about the Raisins movie, it had to be the Grinch.
Shoot, I was hoping it would be the Raisins.
So I picked the Grinch. I always have loved that, especially spending so much time just loving music. I recognized at one point that the guy who was singing all the songs, Thurl Ravenscroft is his name. He's the voice of Tony the Tiger.
Yes. Really?
And when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of Tony the Tiger. So. I know. I just remember when I was a kid, I had a photo of the Tony the Tiger hot air balloon in my room.
I don't know. What does Tony the Tiger do aside from
they're
great? He just says
they're great. That's it. That's all he is. Yeah. But I thought he was cool. So that's my ugly Christmas sweater.
He says other things. Like an essential part of this complete nutritious breakfast, or whatever it is.
Which, as we all know, includes cereal, toast, juice, and milk, yes. and fruit.
Which is not, there's not a protein to be found.
Good. Okay, so for some reason, when I thought ugly, I don't think there's any among us here that do this, but a lot of people like to take photos of their food.
Oh, uh-huh. sure.
Post a picture of mm-hmm. their food. And also, like, I feel like local restaurants, when they're trying to advertise, they'll get a photo of their specialty dish or whatever, yeah. and it never looks very appetizing.
Washed
out. The color's weird.
Yes.
Tan-ish.
They don't have a good photographer who knows to photograph food, mm-hmm. and so that will end up on the menu, that'll end up on their, you know, promotional stuff. So there's something to me about ugly photos of food that I feel like would be fun on a sweater.
That's a great idea.
It's ugly.
Yeah. Do you have a particular food you think would be good?
I'm thinking probably, you know, like some kind of traditional mashed potatoes and turkey and gravy and mm-hmm. stuffing, like a plate, mm-hmm. like a holiday.
Because those beans are not looking plate. Good. They're just right. washed exactly. out.
It's all about look taste.
Kind of gross there. Yeah. And then like maybe a plate of Christmas cookies. I'm thinking the, you know, the Frosted Flakes thing that you somehow piece together to make it look like it's a
they're green.
Yes.
They have the little red and then candies on it.
Right. Okay. So something like that. And then I'm trying to think of a third kind of Christmas.
I feel
food.
Like for you specifically, you could do Chinese food because for a while your family had the tradition,
that's
right?
That's true. Yeah.
You would go do Chinese buffet on like Christmas Eve.
And that's food that doesn't photograph well either. So
a lot of beige.
That's my ugly Christmas sweater.
It's just pictures of food on your sweater.
Yes. And not made to look appetizing.
You're sticking with the ugly. See, I always think of ugly Christmas sweater parties, like festive. I like to call them festive Christmas sweater parties, you know, because somebody might get offended.
Well, and what's ugly to one person might not be to someone else.
We want to be kind. So mine's more festive and gaudy than ugly. Although, no, it's probably ugly too. So the background of it is brown with little chunks of red and green.
Chunks.
Yeah, because it resembles a fruitcake. So it's got the texture and the look of fruitcake. The red and the green, they light up too.
Okay.
And then on the front of the sweater, we have three Christmas boxes. They're flat. And you can pull a string and out pops a different character out of each one.
This is great. Okay,
yeah.
Keep going. This is like an interactive sweater.
Yeah.
So you better be be okay with people touching you.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Maybe they're just Velcro.
You just left them open.
Right. There you go. So you pull the string, and then we have audio too. So in the first one, we pull it, and out pops Buddy the Elf, and he's saying, "Smiling is my favorite."
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Out of the far left one, we pull it, and we have Kevin McAllister just doing the face, the hands on his face. And then the third one in the middle is Rudolph pops out with his nose lit, and he's saying, she thinks I'm cute, you know, when he's talking about.
But that was when he had the thing over.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
But so that's an additional interaction. You could pull off the nose.
Does it make the big shiny noise?
Yes. Yes. You know it does.
Yeah.
Weird mic feedback.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is what that is.
So I'm all sorts of fun.
So here's what I love is that Kathy puts as much thought into these answers as I not put thought into them. As I don't. Like, she's on the opposite. On opposite ends of that spectrum.
I took the creative challenge there. Yeah.
I wondered if you took it home and like, okay, family, let's discuss this. Like, we have a big project.
Yeah. I think I might have asked Mike, what would you put it on it? And he was like you. He was coming up with just like, he goes, cottage cheese, like things that he hated, you know?
The word ugly is in there.
Yeah.
And I'm being literal with the word ugly. Yes. So anyway.
All right. So anytime I've gone to like an ugly sweater event, I feel like the sweaters are conversation pieces. Mm-hmm. Like they get people to chit chat, and it makes it easier for those of us who have a hard time with small talk. Like, okay, I'll just mention your sweater. Like, tell me about what's on your sweater. So I picked three things that kind of have significance to me and my holiday stories over the years. So then if someone were to ask me about it, I would have something to talk about.
Yeah.
So number one is Tilly the Talking Christmas Tree. I don't know if anyone remembers this. Eastbrook Mall. And you would go, and it was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It was this Christmas tree, but then the tree could see you. It would say, "Hey, little girl, I really like your dress." Yeah. You're like, "How does she know I'm wearing a dress?" And it turns out there's people in there that can see you, and they're talking.
Alert.
Well, we've talked about this on the air before, and we had a lot of people call and say, "I was actually Tilly."
No way.
A lot of Calvin College students were Tilly the Talking Christmas tree. So that was like core memory of my childhood going to the mall before we even like Santa was a thing. Like Tilly was a big deal.
Wait, do they still do Tilly?
We tried to
get on the hunt and see if people could find her.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to her, and the trail ran cold.
But she's probably in storage somewhere.
Yeah.
Or we could resurrect it.
Yeah,
like,
let's do
that. That'd be so great, Okay, so number two would be a picture of my dance teacher as a child because I was in dance forever. We did the Nutcracker every Christmas.
Wow.
And so like, you know, ballet shoes and costumes and the makeup. And for some reason, I always had to be a boy. so I was one of the little boys at the party. Like that was my role. So my dance teacher was like a big part of the holiday season. And then my third one, just because I love telling people about this movie, is Luther and Nora Crank from Christmas with the Cranks. Because it is the best Christmas movie. My kids are so sick of me, you know, saying we have to watch this movie together. It's my favorite. It's not well known. And so it would give me an opportunity to be like, hey, these characters are from this movie and here's what it's about and you should watch it.
Is she wearing her vest, her Christmas
probably.
Vest?
Probably. Okay. Yeah. He is probably in his Speedo.
Oh, nice. All tan. Yes.
Well, the 12 Days of Christmas is a song that's not only tricky to remember, the words, it's also long. But did you know that if you actually purchased all the items in the song, you'd be looking at spending somewhere between $45,000 and
$50,000?
Wow. So let's pretend that you received a bit of a bonus this year and you wanted to treat your true love with one more day, the 13th day of Christmas. What would that entail? What gift or activity would that be?
This was easy for me to answer, but then I'm thinking, I have to think of my true love, which is my husband. So what would he want?
Okay.
And I was like, I mean, $13 million, but no, this is a specific thing. So 13 Alabama football tickets, because he would love to go to an Alabama football game. I think he would love to have season passes and to be able to go. So that's my 13th day is 13 Alabama football tickets.
Okay.
All right.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And possibly attainable.
Yeah.
Are there 13 football games in a season?
No, but maybe he could take some people.
Oh,
right?
That makes sense.
Like a group.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so mine is less of a thing and more of an activity, because I was thinking of like Lords a-leaping, ladies dancing. This is 13 helpers helping, because once we get through Christmas and New Year's, a lot of work. You got to figure out where to put all the gifts, right? You've purchased them. Now where do they all go? You have to undecorate the house. You have to figure out, okay, everyone sent these lovely Christmas cards. What do we do with them? Do we put them in a box? Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do? Working through the budget, like, okay, things got a little hairy there. Like, how do we get back to normal? So having some helpers might be a really good gift. Like, here's how you ease into the new year. Now you don't have all this stuff hanging around from the old year.
And cleaning up, because there's a lot of animals in the 12 days.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So I initially went with, well, how about 13-hour workdays? Because I thought that'd be fitting to pay for everything.
That's what you want to give your sweetheart?
Well, that's what I would do. You take the time off. I got things covered.
Okay.
But then I was like, that's a terrible idea. So what I did is I looked at it and I started focusing on the actual gift. Kathy, I love your perspective. Like, what would I give to my true love? I didn't go there. Instead, I just went with, you know what's missing from this entire list? It's some sort of food item.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless you want to go all 4-H on the geese and some of those other things.
Right. I mean, you could. Like,
there's no food unless the pear tree is also producing fruit. So I went with 13 caramel turtles, because that was something that I often made with my mom during the Christmas season when we were doing all of our candies. And they're really good. So that's what I was going to do.
That's good. I didn't really take into account the other 12 gifts, so I'm not quite sure how this works, but I just kind of looked at the question and said, 13 days in California.
Yeah.
Because my wife and I love California, and we did, I don't know, maybe 10 days a couple years ago, and three more would have been nice.
Yeah.
So just shy of 2 weeks. You know, you take 2 weeks off, a day to travel, 13 days in California.
Beautiful.
I have to do WCSG West, and you can be in charge of it out there.
There you go.
That's a pretty cool idea.
We're all quite familiar with the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph's trek to Bethlehem, the stable, Jesus' birth, the wise man, etc. Let's imagine for a moment that you have the ability to witness any moment from the Christmas story. Which one would you pick and why?
Okay, I didn't try to like spiritualize it up at all. I was just trying to really assess my own personality and where I would best fit in. And if I were part of the manger area, I'd be like, I am in the way. Get me out of here. Like, I do not like want to be a part of any problems with our savior of the universe coming into this world. So I didn't want to be there. I am a big fan of sunsets, sunrises, a clear sky with stars. So I think that moment out with the shepherd would have been incredible, where the angels sang and the sky opened up and there was the star. Like, that would have just been amazing. So that's the one I picked.
Yeah, that is a good moment. I started to think about the story, and every time I thought about it, I'm like, what is going on with Joseph? Because there's so much attention paid to Mary and Jesus, understandably so. So there's only a couple mentions. In fact, actually, there's whole articles written about, like, there's not much going on with him. He's just kind of on the outside edges. So I would like to be there for a couple different moments. One where he is told through the dream that this is happening. This is what's going on. I want to see him when he wakes up and comes to that realization and what that's like for him, and maybe just dialogue. But then the other thought I had was, you know how when you go to a wedding and the bride comes down and everybody's supposed to look at the bride, but every once in a while you hear from someone, hey, look at the groom, because of that effect. Like, I would want to be there when, after Jesus is born. I don't need to be there immediately, but I just want to see his face, his reaction on recognizing that he is the human father to Jesus, and just what that looks like. I think that would be really special.
Yeah.
Also, he could use a friend during the, you know, the moments where he just got that news. He could probably use a friend that's like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I doubt he had that voice in his ear.
That's probably
other than the dream from the angel, you know.
I don't know that therapy was a big thing back then.
Right.
So not like he could just call on, you know, his therapist and say, hey, talk me through this.
Hey, walked through something last night. Could you
help me
process? Could you meet today?
You would be a good friend for him. That would have been nice for him.
I also kind of imagine myself kind of on the hillside with the shepherds and that spectacle. But I also like thinking about the moment where these, we call them wise men, whatever they were. I think maybe they were kind of like the precursors to scientists, people who are like looking at evidence and comparing things and trying to make sense of reading signs, basically. And so I like that idea of looking up, scanning, you know, the sky and seeing an anomaly and kind of like, I don't know, like having a conference and saying something is happening. This points to something. Let's pursue this. Let's follow this. Let's see if this means something as important as it seems to, you know, and to have that process and even just like that faith to continue traveling, which wasn't easy in those days, to, you know, to find that something has come from God, you know. Anyway, I don't know. There's something about that process that intrigues me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I also kind of saw myself with the shepherds, you know, out there in the field when the angels came to them and told them the, you know, what to expect, that Jesus was being born. I just feel like that would just be, like you were saying, so magnificent. So it would just be so awesome. But not only that, but then I'd get to go on a walk. I love walks. And I'd get to go on a walk with my friends to see the newborn king. And so it's out in the night sky with a whole bunch of critters, which I also love animals. So all these things. And then the third and most important thing is just, you know, seeing Jesus, seeing this baby that is going to be the savior of the world. So like, I feel like that moment, that time with the shepherds would have been just epic.
So. Do you ever wonder, this just came to me just now, like if any of the shepherds were like, are we sure about this? Like, are we making this trip?
Yeah.
Like, does this make sense? Uh-huh. Are we all kind of believing something that feels a little bit off? Or if they were all just like, yes, we're convinced, we're going, and this is a thing. Like, was there a doubter among them? Because that probably also would have been me.
I mean, there probably was, and that's why you need a group. So it's like, hey, let's keep going, because there's going to be somebody believing at all times, right? So it's a rotation.
Also interesting just hearing the responses that I wonder if, like, where you place yourself in that story, what it says about you. Like, you were very, Steve, you were very focused on like the wisdom aspect of it and the wise men, and you guys were focused on this you know, the beauty of the night sky.
You're gonna say an emotional moment?
No.
Oh.
I'm not gonna put you guys in that kind of a box. Absolutely not. But I don't know, it's just interesting, as I was hearing Steve talk, I was thinking, you know, there's probably something that speaks to the inside of us where we see ourselves in the Christmas story. All right. Well, as we wrap up this podcast special about Christmas, we certainly want to thank you for spending time with us. And from all of us at 91.3 WCSG, we hope you have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.